Easter, everybody. It's so good to see you here today. My name is David, and I'm the senior pastor here, and I am so, so glad that you're here. And if you're here for the very first time, maybe you're a guest, maybe this is your first Sunday to be with us, or maybe you've been coming for a while, I just want you to know right off the bat, I think you're really courageous, because to think about going to a new place on a Sunday and getting dressed up, trying to find out where to go and where to park and, you know, what the expectations are going to be like, I think you're doing something very courageous. So I just want you to say, I just want you to know, we think you're doing great. And we're glad that you're here if you're our guest. So thank you so much for coming. The other thing that we want you to know if you're our guest is that right after this service, I'd like a chance to meet you. And right through these doors here across the hall is our Connection Center. And I'd love to be able to spend just a moment with you. I know it's Easter and you got stuff going on and you can't stop by. That is absolutely fine. But you can swing by there. We have a gift for you just to let you know how much we appreciate you coming and making the effort to be here and to be with us. And we know that that's very, very hard sometimes. And so we appreciate you making the effort to come and be a part of a service like this. And you're welcome not just today, but any other Sunday that you have free to come and be a part of our service. Thank you so much for coming. You did it. You did a great job. You're here. The hardest part is over. So welcome. If this is the first time that you've been a part of our Easter service, there are a couple of things that we want you to know. First of all, the reason that Easter is such a big deal for us, the reason we celebrate Easter, is because everything that we believe as Christians really hinges on what happened on this day 2,000 years ago. Easter is the celebration of a single event in history, that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything that we celebrate and everything that we believe really hinges on what happened. And for the last 2,000 years, ever since Easter has been celebrated, that is really what Easter is really about. And because Jesus rose from the dead, it validated everything he said and everything he claimed to be. And so that's why Easter for us as Christians is a really, really big deal. The other thing that we want you to know about Easter, if you are new to our church and you're a first time with us on Easter, is that we're a church that really believes that Jesus literally and physically rose from the dead. It wasn't his spirit. It wasn't just an illusion. It wasn't a group of followers who just got together and they just wanted to believe something so bad and there were Jesus sightings all around Jerusalem. We believe that Jesus literally and physically rose from the dead, that he really died, he was buried, and he rose again, which means that the foundation of everything that we believe as Christians hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the resurrection for us is so important. It is so central to everything that we believe as Christians that the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, here's what he said. He wrote this in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then our entire faith is useless. In other words, if Jesus hasn't risen from the grave, what we're doing is completely useless. You're wasting your time being here. I'm wasting my time talking to you. All of this is a big hoax. It's a big fake. There's no reason to meet together. We should just stop doing church. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, because everything that we believe as Christians rises or falls not on the teachings of Jesus, because Jesus taught some really strange things. The whole thing rises and falls not on the fact that he died on a cross. Plenty of people have died on a cross for sin. The whole thing about the Christian faith rises and falls on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And because of that, that's why today is a day of celebration. But let's be honest, in our culture, we've seemed to have missed the message of Easter. And it's really kind of strange, and I'm not against any of it, but in our culture, Easter is about a lot of different things. For some, it's about eggs and egg hunts. For some, it's about Peeps, the American icon of Easter, you know, Peeps. For some, it's about chocolate bunnies, which I think are a ripoff because you bite into it and it's hollow. I mean, what a ripoff. But for some, it's about flowers, and some, it's about being with family and food, and some of you got some stuff going on after Easter to be with your family, and all of that's great. But Easter is about a lot of different things. Again, I'm not knocking any of that, but somehow the message gets lost in all of the shuffle. And what's the message of Easter? The message of Easter is a message of hope. And Easter is about hope, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And yet, let's be honest, this past year, 2020, for most of us, man, we could use a little hope, couldn't we? Because this last year has been all about fears and doubts and struggles, which is why now more than ever, we need Easter. We need this Easter season now because we could use a little hope. And in a lot of our world today, there are people who are struggling to find hope. I don't think Easter could have come at a better time because we need the hope of Easter. And my hope and prayer for you today, if you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling helpless and you're not sure about what step to take next in your life, wherever you are in life and whatever it is you're dealing with, my prayer is that something would happen for you today and that God would give you a sense of hope as you begin to understand and embrace the message of Easter. Now, for us, for many of us anyway, Easter is a celebration, but you need to understand, and maybe you don't know this, that the Easter story originally did not begin with the celebration. The story of Easter began with an overwhelming sense of hopelessness. In John's Gospel, who we're going to look at this morning, in John's Gospel, he's one of the eyewitness accounts, he tells the story of Easter, and he begins with where many people are today, feeling this sense of hopelessness and helplessness and wonder. In fact, he says, and we'll throw this up on the screen, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Mary Magdalene was probably Jesus' most famous female follower. She was a woman of extraordinary faith. And she believed about Jesus what many of you believe about Jesus, what many people in our world believe. She believed that he was a great teacher. She believed he was a great miracle worker. She believed that he was from God, that she believed that he was like no other person she had ever met. But on that first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene was as hopeless as anyone who would be because she believed that Jesus was dead and he was going to stay dead. Perhaps you know the story. 3 days earlier, Jesus was arrested, and on Friday, he was sentenced to death by crucifixion. Crucifixion was a form of punishment that began with the Assyrians, but it was perfected by the Romans. And when Jesus was crucified, they laid him down on top of a crossbeam, and they stretched out his arms, and then they took a spike, and they put it in the wrist bone area. And they put one on either side, and then his body on that beam, they hoisted that beam up with his nails in his wrist, and they placed it on top of this vertical beam, and there he hung there with the weight of his body on those nails, making it almost impossible for him to breathe. The Romans wanted their victims to die a slow death, and so they took Jesus' feet and they pushed them up slightly or slight bent in his knees, and they drove a nail either through each foot or possibly through one foot on top of the other so that he could push himself up or pull himself up by the wrists and his nails in order to get some sort of a breath. It was an agony that was unbearable, and 6 days later, he died. 6 hours later, he died. Generally, when a body was taken off the cross, it was put in the dump. It was illegal to bury a crucified body. That was part of the punishment for the crime, whatever the punishment and crime was. Two of Jesus' closest followers, a man named Nicodemus and another man, Joseph of Arimathea, had arranged beforehand to take the body of Jesus off the tomb and prepare it for burial. And Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy man and a connected person, had a tomb. And so they took Jesus' body, they quickly prepared it for burial, and then they placed him in the tomb, and then they rolled the stone in front, and they went home sad and as hopeless as they had ever been in their lives. The way it worked back then is that the body was placed into the tomb and until nothing was left but the bones. And sometime later they would go back and they would into the tomb and they would take and collect the bones, and then they would take the bones and they would put them in a bone box. It looks like this. This is called an ossuary. It's these little bone boxes, and they have found thousands and thousands of these things all over the Middle East and in Israel. And the thinking was that they would go back sometime later into the tomb, and they would take the bones, and they would collect them, and they would put them in one of these bone boxes, and then take the bones of Jesus and then give it to his mother or maybe a close family member. And John, who was a witness to all of this, says that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb very early in the morning. In fact, it was still dark. The Sabbath wasn't even quite over, and she goes to the tomb. And in Mark's account of his story, he says that Mary Magdalene went with some other lady friends to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Now, there is some question as to why Mary Magdalene and her friends went to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial when they already knew that Joseph and Nicodemus had prepared the body 2 days earlier. And my assumption is that Mary Magdalene and her friends knew that two men probably didn't do a very good job. And so they want to go and make sure that it's done right. And as they're going, they're making their way to the tomb, and they're talking about who is going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb. And John says when they got there, the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Verse 2, he tells us that she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Who is they? It's don't know who they is. But when Mary saw the empty tomb, she thought what all of us tend to think, that he is not here, and she didn't know why he wasn't there, and she began to be very upset. Not only was she heartbroken because she had seen him die this horrible crucifixion, but now she's upset that his body is missing, and she begins to think what any of us would think when they see an empty tomb. Somebody has taken his body. And the reason she thought that was because she wasn't expecting a resurrection. She didn't think Jesus rose from the dead. When she goes to Peter and John and tells them about what she is experiencing, she didn't go to them and say, "He's alive. He's risen, just like he said. He is alive." No, she went to them and she said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put his body. The resurrection was the furthest thing from their mind. Now, you need to know this, okay? No one was expecting a resurrection. No one. None of his followers were expecting a resurrection. When Jesus died, do you know what his disciples did? They all went home. In fact, I think it would be a much better story if the story went like this. You know, Jesus died, they put his body in the tomb, and all of his faithful followers, Peter and John and Andrew and James and Mary and Martha, they all gathered outside of the tomb waiting for the resurrection of their Messiah. And these men and women had such incredible faith, and they believed and they prayed all night long, and they prayed and they prayed, and they said, "Oh God, give us this miracle." And sure enough, God heard their prayers, and there was a rumbling. And they're standing outside of the tomb, and they begin to count down 10, 9, 8, 7, and the Roman guards flee. 5, 4, the seal around the tomb begins to break. 3, 2. What a great story that would have been, right? But that's not in there. Why? Because they weren't expecting a resurrection. Nobody was expecting a resurrection. They responded to Jesus' death just like anyone would respond who saw someone die in front of their very eyes. They assumed that once Jesus died, he would stay dead. Mary is telling the disciple, Mary Magdalene is telling the disciples what's happening. They're listening to her and they're thinking, "We've got to go check this out." Verse 3, Peter and the other disciples start for the tomb, and while they were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter. John's just like a kid. He's like, wants to make sure everybody knows I'm faster than Peter. So he wants to make sure he gets that in there. They're both running. He reaches the tomb. Verse 5, he stooped in, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He noticed that the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth they had covered Jesus' body was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings, which is very interesting because if somebody came in and stole the body, they wouldn't have taken the time to unwrap the body and neatly fold the linens. And John, even though he gets to the tomb first, Peter's bold, he goes right on in. John's not too sure about what's going on. And then verse 8, the disciple who reached the tomb first, John would say, that's me, went in and he saw and he believed. Verse 9, for until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. Now, you may not realize this, but it wasn't until later that evening that they actually saw the resurrected Jesus. Do you know what they were doing? Later that night, once they saw the empty tomb, they're wondering about what had happened, and they go back home. They end up getting together as fellow believers and followers of Jesus, but now they're afraid. They're like, okay, if he died, maybe we're next. So they gather together and they quarantine themselves. Look at verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you. They're huddled together in this room. They're behind a locked door. They're living in fear. They're hopeless, just like we would have been. It's one of the things that makes the story so compelling. Verse 20, John says, as Jesus spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with, what's the word? Joy, because they saw the Lord. They realized that he was alive, and the reason that the tomb was empty wasn't because somebody had stolen the body. The reason the tomb was empty is because he is not here. He has risen. And in that moment, their hopelessness began to go away. And they began to have a sense of hope. It could be that you're here today and you'd give anything to have a sense of hope. I mean, you come in on this Easter Sunday morning and you're carrying something. There is something going on in your life. It could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be a finance thing, a health thing. You're carrying something and you are here this morning hoping beyond hope that you can have a sense of hope. And if that's you, man, we are so glad that you're here because we get to let you know that the message of Easter is a message just for you. It is a message of hope. And it is a message for you. And it is hard to maintain hope when you feel hopeless. I get it. You know why? Because hope is about expectations. And when we hope something happens and it doesn't, when we expect something to happen and it doesn't, we become hopeless. The disciples and Mary, they had all kinds of expectations for Jesus about who he would be and what he would do. And that day that he died, they were hopeless. It's about expectations. So whatever it is that you're hoping in, whoever it is that you are putting your hope in, and your expectations, that's where your hope is. It may be a person, it may be a situation to change, a circumstance to turn around. Whatever you have put your expectations in, that's where your hope is. All of us here today have our hope in something, a situation to change, a circumstance to change, or in a person. Can I ask you real personally, where's your hope? Where is your hope? In whom have you put your hope? Because wherever you are putting your hope will determine whether or not you are able to remain hopeful in a world that is hopelessly broken. But can I tell you that as followers of Jesus, our hope is in Him because He is a resurrected Savior. He is the light of the world who has come into the world and not only taken care of our sin problem and offered forgiveness, but He has given us hope, not just in this life, but in the life to come. The writer of Hebrews says this about Jesus. He says, we have this hope in Jesus as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And if you're listening, if you're watching online, you want a hope that's firm? You want a hope that's secure? You want a hope that doesn't disappoint? Do you want a hope that is firm, secure, and always going to be there for you? Then put your hope in Jesus, because only in Him will you find enduring hope. And the reason you can continue to believe, and the reason that you can continue to keep going, and the reason you can have hope in what seems like a hopeless situation is because 2,000 years ago, something happened in history, something so incredible. Jesus was crucified. And 3 days later, He came back from the dead. And that's why Easter is about hope. And my prayer for you and for all of us as we continue to face uncertain times and an uncertain economy, my prayer for all of us is that we would be reminded today not to put our hope in the things of this world and to think that our hope is centered on what is going around us, but we would know that our hope is in a person. Our hope is in the One who has conquered sin and conquered death. Our hope is in the resurrected Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, no matter how hopeless things can be and seem to be, our hope can remain strong because our hope is in a strong, resurrected Jesus. And did you know what the good news is today? Did you know that the good news of Easter and Easter being out hope, that is a message, and that is a message for you? That the invitation to receive hope and experience hope and the person of Jesus is an invitation that's extended to every single one of us. Makes no difference who we are, what we've done, what our past is like, what things we did this weekend or last night. Makes no difference. The message of Easter and the hope of Easter can be yours, and it is an invitation to every single one of us. And the invitation to hope is an invitation to the person of Jesus. And if you're here today, and there's never been a time where you've been invited to know Jesus, I want to introduce you to Him. And here's how I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your head and to close your eyes for just a moment. Because a relationship with Jesus begins by placing your trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sin. And I'd like to invite you to put your trust in Him today. And to do that today. And what I want to do is I just want to lead you in a prayer. And these are my words. You can change your words if you want. But this prayer is simply a way of saying, God, I believe Jesus, your Son, died on a cross on my behalf. And I'm placing my trust in what He did. It's a way of you saying, I'm not trusting in what I've done and my good works and my good behavior. I'm placing all of my trust in what Jesus did for me on a cross 2,000 years ago in history in front of thousands of eyewitnesses. So this morning, if you would like to receive this message of hope, if you would like to know Jesus and be introduced to Him for the very first time, would you just say, just in the quietness of your heart, just say, God, I believe that You sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. I believe You sent Him to be my Savior. And I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. And I understand that when Jesus died, He died for me. And His death on the cross paid all of my sins. And right now, I'm asking Jesus to be my Savior. I'm putting all of my trust in Christ's death on the cross as payment for my sin. Thank You for Your forgiveness. And thank You for giving me the hope that I need through the resurrection of Jesus. For I pray that in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the hope that we have in You. We thank You for Easter, that it could not have come at a better time. And Father, today I just want to pray for all of those who are facing what seems to be a hopeless situation. I pray for those who feel helpless and hopeless that they would turn to You and find the hope that You've promised. I pray, God, that they would experience You and the power of the resurrection and know firsthand that in You and because of You, there's always hope. In Jesus' name, amen.